Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Happy Tuesday, and welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I am happy to be with you again to talk about books and authors and talk to authors about books. I have another interview today, as I said at the end of last Thursday's episode. I am talking with author Mike Nemeth today about his novel, The Undiscovered Country. This is actually the second in a series of novels. It's a series, but I think you could actually read them as either a series or standalone novels. They have the same character, Randall, and this is the second, as I said, and I have not read the first one yet. And there's things that are referenced in this book that clearly have to do with the first novel, but I had no problem picking up. This was a very different story. It was completely different characters, etc. And so there were some references to that first one, but you could definitely read it as a series or two standalone novels if you want. The first book is called Defiled, and this second book is called The Undiscovered Country, and that's what Mike and I are speaking about today. It is also a book that I have copies to give away, so stay tuned to the end of this podcast to find out how you can enter to win a copy of The Undiscovered Country by Mike Nemeth. So let's talk a little bit about the book. The Undiscovered Country is the story of one indomitable man's journey through contemporary end-of-life rituals juxtaposed with Old South traditions and the fading mores of his terminally ill mother's generation to untangle the layers of lies that enshrouded his family's history. To bury the past, he will have to learn the truth about the past and choose between greed, revenge, and reconciliation. As he uncovers the twisted facts, Randall Marks finds he will have to prevent the embezzlement of a man claiming to be his father and decipher the riddle of his own identity. To do it, he must solve a murder no one knew had been committed. So just from that description, you know there's a lot going on in this book. It starts when Randall goes to his mother's bedside. She has been hospitalized. The doctors say that there is not much likelihood of her surviving. He has been in prison for 3 years, so he hasn't seen her in several years. He comes home when he finds out that she's been hospitalized. And then just this, all of this crazy stuff happens. I mean, he has to deal with his family. It's a very, very dysfunctional family. He's never really gotten along with his siblings. He had a very contentious relationship with his father, who has been dead for several years now. He starts uncovering all sorts of secrets that his mother has tried to keep hidden, secrets that have to do with his identity, as the description said. There's just a lot of different layers going on in this book. So it's part family drama, it's part mystery, it's part talking about the issues around death and dying and how that is addressed in this country and how we see that process. So there's a lot of different layers going on in this book. And Mike talks a lot about that in the interview. So rather than me rehashing what he's going to say much better than I can, I'm going to just go now to that interview with Mike Nemeth about his second novel, The Undiscovered Country. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Sarah. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, actually. Beautiful Saturday afternoon in Atlanta.
Oh, wonderful. So we are here to talk about your new book, The Undiscovered Country. Before we get to the book, though, I would love for my listeners just to get to know you a little bit. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm a retired high technology executive. Since I've retired, I've been able to devote all my time to writing novels, and I wrote a couple of nonfiction books as well. So I'm filling my retirement in a way that I always dreamed I could.
Wonderful. Thank you. As I said, your book is The Undiscovered Country. Can you talk a little bit about the story?
I will. The storyline is that a family matriarch becomes critically ill very suddenly, takes her family by surprise. The doctors are pretty negative about her prognosis. The three children gather at her bedside, and that's when all the trouble begins. Mm-hmm. Her eldest son, Randall, is the kind of guy who instinctively questions authority and challenges the status quo. He doesn't take anything for granted, and he's very suspicious of his mother's health condition. So he begins challenging the doctors. He gets into a lot of arguments with the doctors about her care. He's suspicious about whether the hospital may have made mistakes in her care before he got to her bedside. Then he begins putting her affairs in order because it does not look very good. And he begins to find irregularities with her estate. It appears that somebody has been stealing from her. He uncovers secrets about her past, including an affair with a wealthy man who claims to be his birth father. And then he uncovers a plot to embezzle that man's wealth that would ultimately belong to Randall. So there are multiple threads of mystery that are going on at the same time. His mother's health, his mother's past, his own identity, who's stealing money from his mother, who's stealing money from the wealthy man. And in the end, in order to figure all of those mysteries out, he has to solve a murder that no one even knew had been committed.
Yeah, there's a lot of different layers going on in this story. So what was your inspiration for the book?
Yeah. Just before I answer that, I think the word layers is a really important and good word.
Mm-hmm.
It's automatic for people to ask me, what's the book about? And I stumble with that sometimes because what I just gave you was the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not actually what the book is about, right? What the book is really about is the indignity of aging and dying. And how we contend with that and all the different things that we have to contend with, whether it's the medical care, the estate, sibling rivalries and arguments over how to contend with all of these issues. We really don't do end of life very well. Mm-hmm. In modern day America. And I wanted to highlight that and make that aware to my readers. So that's a major thing it's about. And then there's a whole question about medical ethics. When do you apply technology? When do you keep someone alive? When do you pull the plug? I don't want to give too much away, but Randall ends up facing all of those issues in the book. And that's really what the novel is about.
Right. Yeah, and then there's just, but then with everything else, it sort of serves to kind of highlight that because he's trying to navigate everything while dealing with this, with his mother and on behalf of his mother. So he's trying to find answers and he's trying to make sure her health is taken care of. So it definitely becomes a lot more complicated with her health issues.
Sure. But at the highest level, it's really a fun read. For people who like mysteries and thrillers, it's categorized as crime fiction, but it's actually a very entertaining read. So it doesn't come across as preachy or trying to sell any particular viewpoint.
Right, right. Can you talk a little bit more about Randall as the main character? What do you think about him resonates with readers?
Well, I think there are two kinds of lead characters who really resonate. The superhero, which Randall is not, and the anti-hero, which is really much more what Randall is. And I think anti-heroes are really important. They're people who disobey the law. They are people who disregard common cultural mores and seek their own way through life. And they have a tendency, because they change the status quo, because they change the way we think about our institutions, they are actually the people that advance our civilization. They are the people who say, just because it's a law doesn't mean it's good. Just because you're the boss doesn't mean you know best. Just because we always did it this way doesn't mean that's the right way to do it. And that's actually how our civilization advances. So I think Randall kind of characters are really important to helping us make our way to a better world. And I hope that's what resonates with readers. My readers, I can tell you, this is the second novel about Randall and his challenges. And my readers tell me I need to give Randall a break.
he's had some stuff. So actually, that's a good segue. Can you talk about the first book? It's called Defiled. That was a really good segue, but I am going to interrupt the segue so we can take our first break of the podcast. When we come back, I will actually let Mike answer that question. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I am speaking today with author Mike Nemeth about his second novel, The Undiscovered Country. And since I just left mid-question, we're just going to jump right back into that interview. Can you talk about the first book? It's called Defiled.
I sure will. In Defiled, so maybe I should start by saying the two books are completely independent of one another, except for the fact that Randall is the lead character in both books. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to read the first book first. You don't have to read the first book in order to read the second book and so forth. So in Defiled, Randall gets into legal trouble and finds that the legal system, first the civil court system and then secondly the criminal court system, are not at all what he thought that experience would be like. I think when we have a legal issue, most of us form some sort of a conception of what would be a fair outcome. And then we go to see a lawyer and we find out that the law doesn't work that way at all, and that it's not going to give us the outcome that we were thinking was fair, because there's a big difference between justice under the law and fairness. Fairness in an individual case is not necessarily what happens when you follow the law. Mm-hmm. So the first book is about Randall's challenges with the legal system. He wins some battles and he loses some battles. So again, he's not a superhero. He doesn't overcome every monster. And he has character flaws. So anti-heroes are typically flawed people.
Right, right. So how do you think that Randall has maybe evolved or even not evolved from the first to the second book?
Yeah, I think his first experience in Defiled helped him to mellow, if you will. And I think we see that in the conclusion of The Undiscovered Country, where he's much more compassionate. He has an opportunity to be very greedy at the end of The Undiscovered Country, and he chooses instead to be very much a giver to other people, to help other people with their issues. So he's definitely evolving, and there will be a third book, and hopefully Randall can continue to become a better and better person.
Okay. So there will be a third book. Do you envision more in this series, or do you see it as a trilogy?
You know, initially I had three sets of challenges I wanted Randall to face. And so the third book has always been a part of the plan. But actually, I was with a book club just this morning, and they asked the same question. And I said, you know, we're never going to run out of social issues for Randall to encounter. And so it probably will not end after the third book.
Okay. Sounds good. Can you talk a little bit about what Randall encounters in the third book, or are you not ready to talk about that yet?
Yeah, the third book, we're going to see a couple of characters come back from book number one and come back in not a good way. Characters that we thought Randall had properly rid himself of in the first book come back to haunt him in the third book. But the theme of the third book is really about the collapse of America's middle class. Mm-hmm. So middle class jobs are eroding. We're losing jobs to foreign countries through outsourcing. We're losing jobs through automation, artificial intelligence, robotics. And in the third job, in the third book, Randall is going to have a job in that industry, and he's going to get an insider's view to what's happening in the high technology industry, what its good sides are, what its bad sides are, but mostly the effect it's having on the middle class, which of course we can't afford to lose.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for that. You talk a lot about the social issues that are involved in the stories. Are there any autobiographical elements in the stories or in the characters?
Well, Sarah, you know that there's really no such thing as fiction, right?
Right.
Writers draw upon all the experiences they've had in life. You know, the Hemingway quote always sticks with me. He said, before you can write about life, you must have lived life. Mm-hmm. And I take that to heart. So a lot of my personal experiences gave me the background to write about the issues in the book. But I have to hurry to tell you that my case has all turned out a lot better than Randall's.
Oh, that's good. Okay. And then what kind of research did you do for the book?
Oh, tremendous amounts of research. You know, if we go back to the inspiration question for The Undiscovered Country, my mother suffered a heart attack at an advanced age. And again, in her case, things worked out very well. She did recover. But I had the experience of going through that entire process with her rehabilitation, going back to independent living, all the different processes that you have to successfully navigate in order to get back to life as you once knew it. So that was actually a form of research for me. I learned all about the medical procedures, how doctors behave, how hospitals operate, which drugs are used for which things. Mm-hmm. So that research was actually pretty it was firsthand experience, if you will. Mm-hmm. But the other forms of research, I've had to do an awful lot of legal research. So I have two lawyers that I reach out to constantly with questions that I'm sure they wonder why in the heck I'd be asking the questions. But questions about legal proceedings, various kinds of motions, wills, last wills and testaments in different states, the different kinds of wills, the complications you can get into with bequests that are made in wills, and so forth. So a lot of legal research has gone into it.
Mm-hmm.
The settings for the books are all places I have personally lived. So, again, it's sort of that life experience providing the background.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much. So are you currently working on that third book? Is that what you're working on right now?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still in the plotting stage, so I haven't begun the actual first draft.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an idea for the timeline of when that might be released?
Released is a funny term in the publishing industry. So the publishing industry, as you probably know, is very, very slow. I can probably write the book over the course of this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's likely, therefore, to be next summer before the book is actually released.
Right. Okay. I was just curious if there was kind of a general idea for people. You said that you started writing when you retired. Is it something that you've always wanted to do? Is it something that you kind of decided to do later in life after retirement? How did that process work for you?
Yeah, I always knew I wanted to be a writer, and had I been able to write something worth publishing as a young man, I probably would have been a writer.
Mm-hmm.
At a very early age, I fell in love with books and writers, and always wanted to be a writer. Writers were my heroes as I was growing up. So I always knew I wanted to do it, and I did a lot of nonfiction writing in my business career, so I've had a lot of practice and did get to express myself, although not with my personal thoughts, but with business things.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of always been a writer, just waiting for the moment when I had enough time to really be serious about it.
Mm-hmm. I always love hearing authors' stories about how they came to write and all the writing that they did before they became, quote unquote, professional writers, because so often they wrote in so many other aspects of their lives. So I just love hearing those stories. We are going to take our second break of the podcast, but when we come back, Mike's going to talk a little bit about some of the nonfiction that he has written, and then we will get to the conclusion of the interview. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast and the conclusion to my interview with author Mike Nemeth about his second novel, The Undiscovered Country. And then you've also written two nonfiction books, one about college basketball and one about college football. Did you write those before you wrote the fiction?
I wrote Defiled, and I think I wrote the basketball book second, then The Undiscovered Country, then the football book.
Okay. So you're kind of interspersing fiction and nonfiction.
Yeah, but I doubt that out. You know, college football and basketball are sort of hobbies of mine. but I doubt that I'll write any more nonfiction. That's hard work.
Sure. So are you a big college basketball, college football fan? Who are your teams?
Oh, well, I went to the University of Wisconsin, so the Wisconsin Badgers are number one on the list. But my wife is an Alabama person, so we're Alabama fans as well.
And those are some very, very enthusiastic and loyal fans.
Yes, all over the South, actually.
Yes.
We have rabid fans down here.
Well, I have a friend who also went to the University of Wisconsin, so that's one of the few mascots that I can actually name. So when you said I was like, hey, I know Bucky the Badger, sort of.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Wisconsin's a good school.
Yeah. So off of mascots that I can name, when it comes to writing, do you have a favorite thing and a least favorite thing about it?
Well, surely the favorite thing is it gives me a way to communicate my ideas, my thoughts, my feelings. It's my outlet. If you will, and so I'm in love with it as a form of expression. In the actual writing process, I love the writing part of it. The preliminary parts that I'm doing now, the research, the plotting, and so forth, are much harder for me. It takes me longer to do that than it does to actually write the book. So the writing part is really the good part. And then the editing process, I'm sure you hear it from all the authors. The editing process is just grueling.
Mm-hmm.
You go through layers of different kinds of edits. You end up reading your own book until you're pretty tired of it.
Oh, I bet. I was just thinking that. Do you ever just get so tired of your characters that you don't want to think about them anymore?
No. I love my characters.
That's good.
But having to read 90,000 words about 8 or 10 times does get pretty tiresome.
Sure. So then, do you have any advice for aspiring authors?
Yeah, actually, the advice I wish I had had was before you start, learn something about the business. How the publishing business works, how the editing processes work, even things like every category, every genre has its own rules. If you're going to write a murder mystery, you have to kill your victim in very early on, and then the mystery is who done it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a thriller is completely the opposite. You're trying to prevent something bad from happening, and usually it's the end of the world, right?
Right.
And then we have crime fiction, which is my genre, where you have an anti-hero who's battling faceless institutions for moral superiority. But you need to know the differences between those three things. You can't just call your book a mystery if it isn't a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And the plots are very different for each of those three kinds of books. And so, the people who are MFAs, Masters of Fine Arts, who've gone through those courses have tremendous advantages just understanding those elements and structures and so forth, whereas the average everyday person who wishes he or she were a writer will really struggle with all of that as they try to find a publisher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting because I think as readers, we probably somewhat know that, but we don't take the time to think about those actual distinctions as to what the differences are. We just, know what we like and go with that.
Sure. Yeah, but the agents, the publishers, they're very devoted to or committed to those kinds of distinctions. And if you want them to believe that you can be credible as a writer, you really have to know how to talk to them about those kind of things and how to relate to those things and how to produce work that fits into those categories.
Right. When you take the time to read for yourself, do you have favorite authors and genres?
Not so much. I don't know about genre, but authors, definitely. There are, half a dozen people. If they write something, I read it. Mm-hmm. Do you want to know who they are?
Sure, yeah. I love to be nosy and find out what other people read.
Martin Cruz Smith, he's the guy who wrote Gorky Park, probably what you'd be most familiar with. Mm-hmm. But actually has written, probably 7 or 8 different novels. And so I follow him. A guy named Joseph Cannon with a K. He's probably a little more obscure, but writes books about that are set in interesting foreign locations. They kind of border on the spy genre. When I was younger, I read everything John Le Carre wrote. So I was very much into that spy sort of thing when I was younger. And I would still write. I would still read whatever he wrote. I read Nelson DeMille. Mm-hmm. His latest book is The Cuban Affair, which is set in Cuba at a moment in time when we were going back to opening relations with the country of Cuba. And it's sort of a little bit of an adventure story, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I read everything Nelson DeMille writes. You would probably know The General's Daughter, mm-hmm. the John Travolta movie. So that's Nelson DeMille.
Mm-hmm. And I always ask my authors what they're reading, because it's kind of a double-edged sword, because I love to get new ideas for what to read, but then it also just makes my to-be-read list that much longer. I'll never finish.
Yes. So, are you a member of Goodreads?
I am.
Yeah, so the people on Goodreads, which is a very good service for authors, but the people on Goodreads have hundreds of books on their to-be-read list.
Yes. I think it would take several lifetimes to finish everything that I want to read.
Yeah.
So where can people find you on the internet? Do you have a website? Do you have social media?
All of the above, yes. MikeNemethAuthor.com is the website. At Nemo's Novels is my Twitter handle, NEMOS Novels. Okay. Nemo's Novels. I've always been known as Nemo.
Okay.
I was Nemo before the fish.
Okay.
And I'm on Facebook as well, Mike Nemeth Author on Facebook.
Perfect. And I always write a blog post to go with each episode, so I will make sure all that information is on there so people can find you.
Yeah, and the books are now available all your favorite bookstores, online or bricks and mortar.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Well, it has been a pleasure talking to you. I want to know, though, if there's anything that we haven't covered that you really want to say about writing or your books, anything that we haven't talked about?
No, I think we covered it pretty well.
Okay.
I really appreciate your time, Sarah.
I really appreciate your time as well, Mike. Thank you so much. The book is The Undiscovered Country, and it's out now. So thank you so much for taking time out of your weekend to talk to me.
Okay, Sarah. You take care.
Thanks. You too. Once again, I do want to thank my guest, author Mike Nemeth, for taking the time to speak to me about his novel, The Undiscovered Country, his first novel, Defiled, and just all of those nosy questions that I like to ask my authors. So thank you, Mike, for taking the time to be on the podcast. Thank you also, listeners, for joining me every week. As a thank you, I would love for you to enter the giveaways and try to win a copy of this book, or, know, another book if you're listening to another episode. But for this book, you just have to go onto our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram page and comment on episode 82, Interview with Mike Nemeth, and you'll automatically be entered to win one of three copies of The Undiscovered Country by Mike Nemeth. Again, that's Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Just comment on episode 82. You doesn't even have to be a long comment. You can put an emoji. Just make a comment. You'll be entered into the contest automatically once you comment on episode 82, Interview with Mike Nemeth. So thank you again to Mike. Thank you, my listeners. I hope you will join me again on Thursday for another episode of the podcast. In the meantime, I would like for you to go out there and get yourself lost in a good book. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.